When authorities are responding to a murder, they'll cordon off the crime scene and send a team of forensic scientists to collect evidence. You've probably seen this play out during a whodunit drama on TV, or perhaps you've heard it reenacted on a true crime podcast. Our next guest is part of the forensic team waiting to process that evidence back at the lab, and she's looking for one thing in particular. Bugs. Dr. Paola Magni is a forensic entomologist and a senior lecturer in forensic science at Murdoch University in Perth, and she joins me during National Science Week, one of my favourite weeks of the year. Welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hello, good morning, Patricia. Hello, everyone.
Hello. So you work with bodies and bugs, but what does a forensic entomologist actually do? Take me through a day in your life.
Well, you know, crimes can happen in any kind of shape. And in the majority of the cases in which we have a human body or the carcass of an animal, like, for example, a murder or a case of animal cruelty, the situation is it can be pretty nasty, because the dead body will kind of call the activity of the insects that are basically the decompositors of the life that is not there anymore. So insects are there, and that can be very interesting because they can get information for the investigation itself. So my day is just waiting for a call or just going to the lab because there is something there waiting for me, and analyzing the insects that have been found in different cases and backtrack information. Because, you know, for everyone, insects are the one that destroy the case. They eat the body and the body is not there anymore. The pathologist cannot say anything about the time since that or the presence of drugs. But for me, it's exactly the opposite. For me, the insects are the one that they shelter the information. They keep the information in their own little tiny bodies. And analyzing them, understanding them, I can basically translate the key left by nature at the crime scene.
Just a good breakfast conversation, isn't it? Bodies and insects. Look, people, stay with us because I reckon this is absolutely fascinating. What is it that insects can reveal about a crime? Like, give me an example of what you've been able to find out with the handy work of analysing an insect.
Well, the basic information is the time since death, because the insect normally don't eat on your body unless you're dead. So collecting and preserving the insects on a dead body, analyzing the species, and analyzing the growth instar and using table of growth itself, you can backtrack from how long they are on the body and therefore infer the time since death, or estimate at least the time since death. At the same time, the insects are eating the body. So you are what you eat is our mantra, you know, because if they eat a body that has been killed with poison or is died because of an overdose, and maybe the body is not there anymore because there are only bones, well, a toxicologist cannot say much. But a forensic entomologist can work together of toxicology in something called entomotoxicology, that is a hybrid science between biology and chemistry, and give you information about the drugs or the poison present at the scene, so you can complete the crime scene reconstruction and get information about the cause of death. Now, insects are everywhere, but not everywhere the same. So finding the wrong insect in the specific environment, well, will tell you also that the body has been moved from a primary crime scene to a secondary crime scene.
Oh, and, that's so fascinating.
Okay, so the limit in this case.
It clearly is, but it means that, you know, your brain must be full of so much incredible locational information. So what happens? It comes from, I don't know, you get a body in St Kilda, and then you sort of go, hang on a minute, this bug is usually found in, I don't know, Queensland. I'm kind of exaggerating a bit. It's a big drive, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, in Australia, it's actually way easier than Europe. For example, I come from Italy, and in Europe, there is more globalization of the insects. While in Australia, having this big desert in the middle, we have kind of a big kind of limit for the insect to cross from Western Australia to the other side. So we really have species that are not present at all in Sydney, that are present in Perth. So this will be pretty easy if the body moves that far away. Now, we have insects that prefer the bush rather than the apartment. And we have insects that do prefer to go in very small places because they can dig, or they can go into coffin. They cannot, they don't like to stay outside. So we can infer also information about very short movement of the bugs themselves.
Now, listeners may have seen these techniques being used on crime shows on television. I'm very excited by this. In fact, I had to wait to ask this question. I wanted to ask it first, but I know it was kind of seemed a bit sort of tabloidy. I held back. You actually have a character on the Italian CSI TV series that's based on you. How did that happen?
Guilty. Yes. So, you know, in Italy, crimes are a little bit different because we have many situations with the mafia and things that will not happen in America, where the typical CSI show are run. So an Italian producer decided to make his own version of CSI, and he was looking for new cases because there are so many cases out there, so many movies, so many movie series. So what about new ideas? And I was working in Italy as a forensic entomologist. We are only 250 in the world. So I was, inverted comma, kind of famous because I was working on cases there. So he reached out on me and he asked me to help out for a couple of tips, what kind of cases we can build together. So I gave him a couple of tips and he realized that a couple of tips are not enough. They really needed to have a character just focused on the use of nature to investigate crimes. So my character, that is a lovely actress, and she was working not just with insects, but any kind of piece of nature that can be used at the investigation. Soil, leaves, pollen, plankton, any kind of stuff. That is basically my work. I'm focused on the insects more, but I actually work in aquatic forensics and in the sea, in the ocean, and I don't work on insects over there. I work on crustaceans, for example. So I gave away these ideas and some of my real cases, and we rebuild that in a very fictional way in order to present this to the audience.
How involved were you in the actual production of the show?
Well, I was working very close to the actress because she never been in a forensic lab. She never been in a lab itself. She's not a scientist. So she came with me a few days in the lab to learn from me. Basically, she was observing doing my job, and she did an amazing job in doing what I do. And I had many meetings with the production in order to put together a lab that was as real as possible for the audience. And I also had to deal with the warehouse of the insects, because we had to choose which insects. And I had to fight with them because, you know, my insects normally are maggots, flies, are not very good looking. And really, they wanted to put something very fancy, like butterflies or praying mantis or things like that. So that is pretty annoying for me. And with the script writer to write together in order for me to don't be too much scientific and for them to don't be too superficial, because I really wanted to give to the audience the real situation.
Look, I know it's National Science Week, and that's one of the reasons we have you on, of course. The aim is to encourage people to open their eyes to the world of science. How can listeners find out more?
Well, there is a website that you can find on Google, so Science Week or scienceweek.net.au, to find everything that is going to happen around you. Science is not only in the lab. Science, especially this week, is everywhere. It's in the street, it's in the schools, is in your suburb, is outside, is inside. So there are so many appointments that you can go to and you can enjoy science. Everyone can be a scientist. You don't have to be Einstein. You can become Einstein studying science, and it can be very good fun. So just go on Google and find out what is close to you and just enjoy science.
Oh, absolutely. You've absolutely sold insects to us, I've got to say. I've never been more interested in insects. Thank you so much, Paola.
Thank you to you. Have a good day.
Paola Magni, she's a forensic entomologist and senior lecturer in forensic science at Murdoch University in Perth. And I got a text saying, stop gushing, PK. It's unbecoming. Are you kidding? That scientist made science so exciting. It was very hard not to get excited about the kind of work she does. And the thing that overwhelmed me about that conversation is just how passionate she is. This is RM Breakfast. It's 8:45.